In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are so many wonderful prayers. In one such prayer, the Nagapatnis are offering this prayer to Krishna. That how the lotus feet of the Lord is often most sought by His devotees. And the feet of Krishna are the place where the goddess of fortune Lakshmi eternally resides. And the saffron dust particles from the Lord's feet is actually the prerogative of His pure devotees. So they are asking Krishna, my dear Lord, how is it so strange that the saffron particles of your lotus feet are touching the head of our husband Kaliya, who is so vicious and venomous and so sinful. The very fact that he has got this body of this venomous serpent is a proof that he has been very sinful in the past. But it's a great paradox for us. How on the head of such a sinful person, your lotus feet are touching. These two things which are contradicting each other cannot be resolved unless we understand that you have bestowed your causeless mercy upon our husband. So they offered a prayer like this. So a devotee should always be admiring and wondering how Krishna's causeless mercy is chasing me in my life in so many different ways in order to deliver me from this world of birth and death. In fact, when Muchukunda offered his prayer to Lord Krishna, he said, my dear Lord, I come in the dynasty of Ikshvaku, but that does not mean that I am a great king. Although I come in the lineage of very great kings, I am a most fallen king. In fact, to be honest with you, I am like a dog, he said. Because when I conquer all the kingdoms and return back to the palace, I simply become a play toy in the hands of the beautiful queens. In this way, I am no less than a barbaric animal. He presented himself like that. When Indra humbled himself before Krishna, he said, my dear Lord, I am the greatest fool amongst all fools. In this world, everyone is competing with each other to become a leader. And when one struggles hard to become a bigger and bigger and bigger master, ultimately become a master of all living entities, when one is not able to accomplish his goals, then one foolishly declares oneself to be God. He said, I am also in the same category. But my dear Lord, you are such a kind supreme controller, but that you have even become my spiritual master, and that you have purified my heart by completely smashing my false pride. So there are so many wonderful prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam which arise from the heart of the devotees. And such prayers are actually called as Uttama Shloka because they are infused into the heart of the devotee by the Lord Himself. Such prayers are very rare, they are very pleasing to the Lord, and they are very powerful in transforming the hearts of those who hear them. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the holy name springs from the heart, permeates through the whole body, and dances in the tongue of a sincere chanter. Such a holy name is synonymous to the fervent prayers offered by great devotees in glorification of the Lord. So chanting of Hare Krishna is the greatest prayer amongst all the prayers. In fact, it is the conclusion of all the prayers. After having sufficiently glorified the Lord, which can never be sufficient, there is unlimited glories. But when one comes to a point where one simply becomes joyful in uttering the names of the Lord again and again in repetition, non-stop, just like Haridas Thakur was repeating, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The meaning of which is, my dear Lord, your qualities are so wonderful, your pastimes are so wonderful, you are so wonderful, everything about you is wonderful. What is not wonderful about you? So, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Ram Prabhu ki.